on the, like the horizon, I like to look at the scene of Christianity, and I always like to say, my gosh, things have changed, man. How far Christianity has come. And I'm not saying that in a positive, how far it's strayed. And it's easy to do that. But the way it fixes is to say, what about in my life? What about in my living room? In my world? Boy, how far I've strayed. There was a time when the joy was so vibrant. Like, you know, the water was flowing so much. You know, that's what he promises. When you get my spirit, he goes, out of you will flow rivers of water. That, you know, and so that's what we need to do today. Have a time of repentance where you and me, you look and you reflect here. I can't always change here, but I can. I am responsible for this. So I hope God does this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 this morning for us. Let's pray. Lord, we're opening this book, and take chapter 4 right here in the middle in this passage where we're at, and do your work. God, this is the thing that's changed our lives from the beginning, Lord, when we accepted your word, the incorruptible seed, man, the truth of the gospel in our lives were changed. Lord, we've seen much victory in our lives personally, and Lord, it's come as a direct reflection of what you've said here. When we've shut out the voice of the world, we've taken the voice of the word of you, God, and it's made all the difference. So make the difference this morning. We know you will. Holy Spirit of God, control my mouth and control our ears, what we hear, and we're listening. We're listening this morning. It's in your name we pray. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we ended verses 1 through 8, and I guess you remember those series of a couple weeks there where it was like, this is sanctification, this is what you need, this is the will of God, your sanctification. And we've talked a lot about sexual things and sexual purity, which in our world, man, we have got to be different. We've got to come out from among that and be separate. It's demanded, it's commanded of you and me. So now we're in verses 9 through 12. Verses 9 through 12 says, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. Verse 11, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, verse 12, that ye walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. You know, coming off of verse 8 where he says, you know, therefore he that despiseth not man, but God who hath given unto us his Holy Spirit. We're talking about sexual purity, and he's like, God's put holiness inside of you, right? And he mentions at the end of this where he says in verse 6, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. I like this because basically what he's saying is we know it's clear as a bell that when you're dating, you know, we date Christians. That's what we do. Lost people are out of the question. Light and darkness cannot mix, right? Oil and water, that's what we did with the youth. We took a cup, put oil in it, and put water in it. Right before our eyes, we stirred it, and it was one. And right before our eyes, it took seconds, and it separated. That's how it's going to work if you're going to date somebody lost. You know, we need to be separate, the Bible says. And so we need to be careful when it's talking about sexual things. It says that no man, don't defraud each other. That same word is used in the context of a marriage in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And so just to let you know that, you know, when you're married, God has given the gift of intimacy. You know what I'm talking about? He's given that gift to a husband and wife within those bounds. You know, the Bible says the marriage bed's undefiled. So it says, don't defraud each other. As a married couple, be careful. That you know, that's what happens. You grow older, you get kids, you develop different bedtimes, you all of a sudden life, and all of a sudden the intimacy's gone. Guys, it's very important. It's very important for a married couple. Don't defraud each other. Don't hold back on that department. Be careful. Don't make excuses. We need that. Husbands and wives both need it. I'm not just talking about men. I'm not just talking about the pervs in the room. I'm not talking about that. There's more to intimacy, and there's so much more to sex than the physical act and pleasure, isn't it? We're one. It's how you and your spouse, nobody in the planet's got that kind of relationship but you two. Now in the context, kind of even removed from marriage, it says, as it's talking about sexual things and sexual purity, it says, make sure you don't defraud your brother. When you're dating, you're not supposed to be intimate physically. And when you do, you're defrauding them. You're doing them wrong. That's why the Bible says, even in dating, it says, make sure that you treat the younger Christian girls, make sure you treat them as sisters. Yeah, that's disgusting when that happens in a family, right? When we see intimacy happen between brothers and sisters, right? It's gross. It's wrong. The law's against it. It produces a retardation of what a normal should be, because God made that for the intimacy of marriage, right? A husband and a wife. And so you treat your partner, if you're dating or somebody you want to date, you treat them as a sister, and don't defraud them. Do not defraud them. But now marriage, it becomes the opposite. You can defraud them by holding back on them. When you're dating, hold back. That's what it says there. Make sure that you're... So anyways, that's the context we have here. And then we flow right into verse 9. It says, but it's touching brotherly love. Hey, love's important, man. Relationships are important. We were just talking about the physical aspect of it early. But he says, as touching brotherly love, man, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Right? And indeed, you do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. We beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. I got 4 points in the message today. They all start with the word that. And this is the first point, that you would increase more and more. The second one's going to be found in verse 11. That ye study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands as we command you. Verse 12, that ye may walk honestly towards them that are with them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. 4 points today. I'll give them to you right now in case you want to catch a nap. The first one is that your love is loud. You love loudly. Two, that ye study to be quiet. The second point is labor quietly. Love loudly, labor quietly. The third one is that you walk decently. Walk decently, that you walk decently. And the fourth point is that you may have lack of nothing. That's our fourth point, that you have no necessity in your life. Hopefully these things will pull together by the time I'm done if I do my job correctly. So, as touching brotherly love. You know, it's common to go in churches today and hear messages about love, right? That's what everybody wants. And our love is bound by truth about the Bible. So we got to be careful here. And I just don't want to be a generic church, but honestly, we probably don't talk about this enough, because Paul actually addresses it quite a bit in the Word. He says, but it's touching, notice what it says, brotherly love. We're not talking about just any love. We're not talking about just love with the spouse. We're not talking about God so loved the world. Yeah, that's a big concept of love. Here he's talking about a brotherly love. Guys, this context is the love that you have with somebody in this room, this to make it personal. He even says this, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Because, and I'll tell you guys, something, I've got the gift of discernment. That's clear as a bell. Every time I take spiritual gift tests, people get around me. Other pastors know this. I've had other pastors say, hey, I want you to be involved in a situation. I'm getting ready to go to a conference here in a little bit, and a guy says, hey, I want you to speak during this time, and here's why. I'm having some guests in. They're going to speak. Dude, I need you to discern this thing. For I was like, oh, hey, no problem. You know, praise the Lord. You know the problem with that is sometimes is I can find out it can hinder me in situations like that. Because somebody will just say, yeah, you know, what about this situation or what about them? And I can't just say, yeah, what sweet people. Oh, just great. Man, great folks. That guy, that lady. But here's what commonly happens with me. Yeah, that lady, oh, man, just so sweet. We're glad to have her. She's a little crazy. But I'm not sure that needed to be said. Love, just love one another. Can you not love? Just love. People have deep problems. I've noticed, I was always into the Rocky movies growing up. And, you know, get up in the living room, dun, 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 dun. You know, and everybody was up in the living room of my house, and we were all swinging for the fences, you know. Well, that's kind of crossed over into Creed. Right? And so there's three Creed movies, basically, that Rocky's involved in the first two of them. But to make a long story short, you know, he's in this ring, and he's in this, and he's fighting this guy across from him, and they knew growing up. But what you find out is you're like, man, this guy has all the money in the world because his dad used to be Apollo Creed, right? Multi-millionaire in the family. He don't have to fight, but he has to fight. You know why? It takes him back to a scene when he was a kid. He was a fighter as a kid. He had trouble as a kid. And so all of a sudden it goes back, and he's in the ring with a grown man, and he pictures a little boy over there, and he's like a smaller boy, and it's just working through all this stuff in his life, you know. And the beautiful part about it is I just thought that's just a beautiful picture of life, because life has not been kind to a lot of us, you know, whether it's injuries you've experienced or a weird relationship, your mom and dad split up and now all of a sudden your home's jacked up, you know, all of our family members and the abuse that we all have in our lives. Some of you, it's been really awful, some physical, some, all that stuff plays into how, like, we're made up today, you know. And you know what it hinders? It hinders our love. My gosh, we let it hinder the way we love people. And we cannot do that. He says here, as a touching brotherly love. You guys, do I really need to write this? You're taught of God to love one another. And indeed, you do it towards all the brethren which are in Macedonia. And we beseech you, brethren, here it is, that ye increase more and more. Let me talk to you about love. You ready? I'm going to give you five things about love. Love, God is love. Or if you want to write this down, God's character is love. John 15:12, God is love, man. We all know John 3:16, God so loved the world that hated him. They crucified him. Can you imagine that? I mean, guys, I love anybody that wants to give me a chocolate cake, but somebody that wants to kill me? They hate me. That's hard, and God loves the world. You know, this is God. I just want you to know, God don't have love in him. God is love. That's his character. That's who he is, right? Jesus Christ is called the love of God. That's right, he is. So the first thing is, we know this, God's character is love. The second thing I want to put out there is God's commandment is to love. God commands us to love. And guys, in John chapter 13 and verse 34, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says, hey guys, there's a new commandment I'm going to give unto you. They're like, okay, cool. He's like, that you love one another. You really had to say that? That's weird. It's new because you did say we're supposed to love our neighbors. Well, and if you look at the context of that situation, as he's getting ready to go get it, you know, he's there with his disciples. He's saying this to Judas. Judas is there. Guys, love each other. And even at the very end, you know, Jesus is on the cross, and Jesus has this crazy ability to say, God, just forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. They don't got this figured out. Forgive them. He's love. God commands love from you and me. And things have changed here, because this becomes different, because Jesus Christ, God, comes down, not only lowers himself to be a human, but lowers himself to for death and to go to the cross. And he lays, there's no greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. There's no greater love. He proves this love and gives his life. And so he says, guys, this is a sacrificial love, and there's a new commandment I'm going to give to you guys. And here's what you're going to do. Love one another. This kind of love. Guys, it don't say you have to like everything about everybody. But you have to be able to love with the love of God. It's the one thing in John 13, after he says this is a new commandment, you know what he says in verse 35? And the world will know that you're my disciples. One way. By how much of the word of God you know? No, they're going to know. Not even by how you love the world. He says, yeah, the world's going to know you. That's what we do. Christianity today, they twist that thing and just say, yeah, we need to be lovers of all people. And we like to say things like, yeah, love the people and hate the sin. Yeah, obviously, you haven't read the whole Bible. You ever look at the hate words that God uses in the Bible and clearly state certain groups of people and individuals? How do you reconcile that? Don't buy into that false, it's a little bit of a false teaching. The world is going to know that we are disciples of Christ by the love you have for the lady in the room today. It's this brotherly love that he's addressing here. He says, disciples, the way you love each other. That's coming. And guys, if we would have that kind of love, it's a magnet, man. To have that kind of love, it would draw the world. As we lift Christ up and love each other that way, God's commandment is love. And you guys, if we treat it like a commandment, hey, by the way, if love is a commandment, it's kind of like this. Out here, we got a school over here. Every day there's people get on the bus, there's little kids over here. And you know what the speed limit is over here? Yeah, school zone. What's the speed limit? 20? Yeah. So the other day, Bo took off and he drove 55 miles an hour down this road. And hey, dude, and he's like, no, really, I had to get somewhere. No, there wasn't people outside. I was careful. No, you don't realize something. It's a law, dude. It's a command. Like, it's posted. You just don't go this fast in this area. And it don't matter what you're about, what you're after, what you think. I think it should be 45 in this. I don't think it should be 30 miles an hour here. I don't think it should be 20. Well, it don't matter what you think right now because it's a commandment. You know what that does to me? You know what it does? You know, and I'm standing in front of the judge, and he's like, yeah, you're going to have to pay this $200 fine, dude. You don't drive that fast in this kind of area. And you're like, sir, you don't understand. I was having a horrible day. Okay, I'll get you that. No, you really? My grandma got put in hospital. I mean, it was rough, man. I just didn't feel. I didn't feel like driving 20. I turned on my music, and I was just driving. You know, it's like therapy, right? And he's like, well, I appreciate the therapy session. Now part of your therapy is going to be giving the court $200. No, see, what I love about the word command, it takes the emotion out of it. It just does. Who gives a crap? You know what that guy said to me? You know what I heard that he said about me? Who gives a crap? Love. Love him like Jesus loved and gave his life. Jesus took the bullet for an enemy. So God's character is love. God's commandment is love. Hey, church, the first point today is that we would increase more and more. Can we not get better at loving our brothers and sisters? And that's the context I'm going to put this in, because that's the context of this passage, not just the world and not just people. Isn't that funny? I love how Laodicean Christianity twists this whole thing and just like, we need to be known for love. Yeah, but loving each other. Most of us lost our love for the church. We've lost our love for sisters and brothers. And that's where it starts. And we wonder. You wonder why your husband don't love you well. You never went back and really studied how he loved his mom and dad and how he talks about his physical brothers and sisters. And now you're wondering why he's all jacked up with you. Yeah, your emotions blinded all that. And you thought this was going to be different because we're so in love. You know, well, what we need to do is say, man, it's commanded of God, this brotherly love. Have no need that I write unto you. You're taught of God to do this, to love one another. This is intense. So God's character and God's commandment, and we are God's copy. That's the next C word. That's why he says in John 15:12, hey, love one another. John 15:12, love one another. You know what? Let's turn there. Sometimes I feel like I do it. I got too much to say sometimes. We need to just slow down and let God's word say it. I was thinking that this morning. I got all these verses. I'm like, well, I'll just quote them, and people can get it if they want to. Well, maybe we just need to take our time and flip in the Bible, or Jordan put it up on the screen if he wants to. But John 15:12, hey, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you. See, we got to copy that love. God loved us in 1 John 4:11 so that we can love one another. He showed us. He gave his life, right? He laid it down. He became this pattern for you and me. So let's copy this, man. Let's be about this. It reminded me of the time me and Bo, we fell in love with a guy up at the jail. And in this context, that don't sound weird. We fell in love with him, man. This guy's a brother. He did some bad things, but we were really just drawn to him. And he had a court date and asked us to show up. And guys, this guy did some awful things. Like, I would never defend what he did. And we get up there, and there was people up there like, who are you up here with? And we told them who we were up there with, and they were like, you don't know this guy. You don't know the things he's done. Like, they were after us. We're just like, we just love him. You don't know. And then exes were coming around the corner, people that have been abused by this particular individual. And we're up there, and I was just like, my gosh, if this is what brotherly love looks like, this is hard, man. This is so hard. Because we just, you know, we said we're, it don't mean we defend everything he does. We were just there for him. And I trusted the judge in the court system. And by the way, that guy currently is writing us, and he's in prison. He deserves to be. We miss him. And we love him. Don't defend all that. Just see what I'm saying? I just want to be a copy of Jesus. And can we not love people with immense grace and immense patience? Somebody just say, how can you stand that guy? I don't know. I'm just supposed to. Sometimes the best thing we can say to people is just like, I'm here. I'm with you. Okay. God's copy. Now, guys, listen. If you look at the concentrate of God's love, that's the next C word, the God's concentrate or his focus of love, I want you to know, he always talks about towards his house, towards the brethren, love you one another. But our God does love the world. He loves his enemies. Matthew 5:44 says, yeah, love your enemies. You think you got love down? Yeah, I got love down. Yeah, everybody loves people that love them. Anybody gives me chocolate cake and kisses, my gosh. Oh, you give me clean socks? You want to wash my dirty underwear? My gosh, I love this woman. Who else would do that for me? Not very many people. Yeah, the world does that. Love your neighbors, because my neighbors are nice, man. That's why. We love those that love us. But God's concentrate of love here, in this passage, he just says, hey, let brotherly love continue. Man, that's the one that needs to go forth. You need to get better at that, because the truth of the matter is, I don't know if I want anybody to come to this church, because I don't like half the people that are here. That's wrong. That's wrong. It's embarrassing, isn't it? Last week, I go to the county jail on Monday, and there's a guy in there that's troubled. Never seen him before. He's like a caged lion in there. He comes up, he's got one eye crossed, and I got relatives like that. He comes up, looks, and he goes, I know you. How do I know you? I know you from, so how do I know you? And I'm like, I don't know. And you know what he said? You're that Baptist pastor. Yes, I am a Baptist pastor. He goes, I've been to your church. Of course, everybody else is in there just like, they know each other. Guys, it took me a long time. I was ashamed of some of my family members growing up. And both my grandparents are passed away, so I'm good with this. I can say this now, but and a lot of their siblings are even gone, aunts and uncles. But when I showed up at my brother's wedding, you know, my grandma shows up in a silky dress, and a real thin silky dress, and she's overweight and short, you know, kind of like the Shrek look. That's what she had going. And I don't know why she didn't wear a bra to the wedding, but she didn't. And you'd think there'd be some sort of like, I don't know what they call that, but like a slip that goes through the whole body, whatever those things are called. Maybe a layer of protection there. Yeah, that wasn't working real well either. And my grandpa, who just wore flannel shirts his whole life, he just decided he was going to wear a flannel shirt. Well, it's a wedding, you should wear a suit. So he did, over the flannel shirt. Like, and it wasn't a cool look. Like, you can think of people that do this today and make pull it off with a big gold chain or something, but it wasn't that way. You know, he walks in there, and I just, you know, You know, when you got a sporting event or they show up at a graduation. And it just took me a long time to be able to just say, this is my grandma. And I love her dearly. She's always been good to me. This is my grandfather. You know, we're family. We're blood. I can't get away from that. So here we are in the church of the living God. And it don't matter what I think about everything. It just matters that I love intensely. That I copy God's love because it's a commandment. And guys, I want to feel love. Everybody wants to feel love. You know, it's something you feel together, right? I think it was Van Halen that introduced us to that, you know. But like, it's a commandment. Remove the feelings out of it and just love. Just love. It don't matter. Yeah, but it's not perfect yet, and it never will be. But your love can be perfect. Right? And it don't mean we don't ignore truth. There's things the Bible says that we follow the Bible, but we love. My last C word to make love is going to be God's love is clear, meaning it's so seen. It's very visible. In God's word, there's a proof of your love. There's fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, right? Galatians 5:12. Love's in there, right? God so loved the world that there was action upon it. There was fruit. It's visible. And so, and some people, you know, and you would say, you know how it is. You look at your spouse and love you. You know, people do that. Because, well, you're supposed to say that you're a spouse. You're like, man, there's zero feeling to this at all. Well, take the feeling out of it. Just put a little action with it. And then all of a sudden we're going to have charity. So God's love is very clear. Jesus even told his disciples, he looked at Peter and says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter goes, you know I love you. Then feed my sheep. That's what you do. Feed them. If you really love me, that's what you're going to do. It don't matter what you feel about them or what you think or what he's done or she's done. Dude, love. So let me ask you some questions. Who in this room and in this church have you been kindly affectionate with? Because that's one of the things the Bible says, we should be kindly affectioned one towards another. Kindly, and not just people that like you or that are like you. That's probably what we should do. We should find some sick and naked people and just say, love that guy. Hey, love that girl. Why don't you do that? Find people that are opposite of you. Find a Frankenstein in your life and love them. Hey, who have you cried with lately? That's a good sign of love. We rejoice with those that rejoice, but we weep with those that weep because we love them. Yeah, but did you know they do this? They said that. They weren't here for this. Just love. That's like uncontrollable things. Who have you put up with lately? Because of love. What about in this room? Forgiveness. Offer forgiveness. I extend forgiveness. Just because of love. Well, they don't deserve it, you know. How's your kindness? Tender-hearted. All of those words are good words. And guys, I think the context here is this, that we increase more and more. Just grow. Let's grow in this area. I'm reading books all the time, and they're just like, hey, how to increase the size of your church? I think it's pretty clear in the Bible how to do that. Increase the size of your love. Oh, preach the truth, preach the God. Yeah, we got to put the word out there. But we do that with the foundation of love. Increase your love. That's what we need to do. Right. That you would increase more and more. DJ more. Yeah. I'm excited about that. Love loudly. Love loudly. That's what he says. And then look what he says next. This might surprise people here. You ready? This actually will go quicker now because it says this, that you do it to all the brethren, increase more and more in this area. Verse 11, that ye study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. So, man, God gave a commandment of love, and Paul says, we commanded you guys too. Guys, this is a weird passage because you're like, study to be quiet. I don't even read the word well, let alone study it. What do you mean study to be quiet? Well, if you study the word study in Scripture, it just don't mean to be studious with academic books. Matter of fact, in Romans 15:20, if you want to turn there, you can. In Romans 15:20, you know what he says in Romans 15:20? He says, I have strived to preach. That's the word he uses there, is strive to preach the gospel, right? I'm having a hard time getting there. I have strived to preach the gospel. I have strived to preach. Here's what he's saying. I have studied to preach. It's the same Greek word translated differently because the context demands it. I have strived to preach to you. In 2 Corinthians 5:9, Paul uses the word, and we labor, study. Anybody that studies know, man, well, that's a lot of work, isn't it? Yeah, it's hard work, very hard work. That you study to be quiet. I used to think this was weird as a preacher. I'm like, man, I'm studying God's word Sunday so I can preach. Well, okay, dude. Well, I had to study the word study and realize that he wasn't just saying book study. And then if we know what study means, which is to strive or to labor, then what's the word quiet mean? I think quiet does mean quiet. But there's so much more to quiet. There's so much more to this word. Jesus Christ begins to question people in Luke chapter 14. And Jesus, you know, answering Jesus' questions are difficult. And Jesus Christ put them in the corner and asked him a question. You know what they did? The Bible says they got quiet. Or it says it this way, they held their peace. They held their peace. They had nothing to say. They were quiet. The word translated quiet in Luke 14 is the word peace. Luke 23:56, you know what Jesus Christ did on the Sabbath? The Bible says he studied on the Sabbath. The word translated study there, he rested. Rested on the Sabbath. Translated study in 1 Thessalonians. Hey, study to be quiet. Study be translated quiet. I think I said study. You know what I mean. I think you got it. I don't, but you got it. Acts 21:14, Paul, same thing. It says, they would not listen to him. So since Paul would not listen to them, and like, don't go, don't go. And Paul says, hey, I'm not listening to you guys. And so guess what? And it says, and they ceased. That word ceased is the same word quiet. Now I'll put them together. When he says study to be quiet, you know what he's saying? Hey, labor to rest. Labor to rest. Hey, strive to be at peace. Hey, be very ambitious to stop. Be ambitious to cease. Slow down. Be calm. Quiet your mind. May patience possess your soul. Be gentle. The only striving you're going to do is to strive for peace. You're going to be ambitious to rest. Isn't that awesome? Labor quietly. So increase your love more and more. But he says, you guys, I want you to study to be quiet. Like, really be ambitious to be at peace and to be at rest. Notice what he says next. He says, study to be quiet and do your own business. Do your own business, man. Like, study to be quiet. Like, yeah, you work and get after it, but you get after it to be at peace inside and do your own business. There's three passages in the Bible that deal with this about doing your own business. There's three passages in the Bible that have the opposite of this. Instead of doing your own business, verses that talk about being busy about other people's business. And this is what he's saying, the opposite of that. So do your own business, dude. Would help with our love, wouldn't it? If we weren't meddling in other people's business, all of you scrollers out there. 2 Thessalonians 3:11. Who's taking 2 Thessalonians 3:11? This half of the room, turn to 2 Thessalonians 3:11. In the middle section here, go to 1 Timothy 5:13. And then this section over on this side of the room, go to 1 Peter 4:15. So over here, you're at 2 Thessalonians 3:11. In the middle here, we're at 1 Timothy 5:13. And over here, we're at 1 Peter 4, verse 15. So let me give you a few things here. So somebody over here that's bold enough, stand up and read 2 Thessalonians 3:11. Just read it out loud. Somebody stand to your feet and read it. So in this passage, he says, there's people among you that are disorderly, not working your busybodies. Do you see that? You're disorderly. You have no order in your life. No order in your life. You're not working. So no work. And he says, you're just you're a busybody. You just trifle all the time. Now, what about this? Let's have somebody in the middle here stand and read 1 Timothy 5:13. This one context is speaking to some ladies. 1 Timothy 5:13. Anybody just stand up and read that thing out loud. 1 Timothy 5:13. If you don't, Joe's going to. Wow, so here's a context, and we got to watch young widows, right? And now this context also appears for men, too. We just read one, but he talks about like a lady. Be careful, because you'll learn to be idle. Idle. And, like, going from, like, house to house, you know, and I know that's weird to us today, but, guys, I'm not lying. I just couldn't help but think of, like, I'm scrolling. What are you doing? I'm just like, you told me to go look at this because this lady said this. I don't see where she said that at all. Like, oh, it's not here where she posted. It's not on her wall. It's on her story. And I'm like, oh, well, let me go over here and figure out what her story is. And then on this app, there it is. And I'm, oh my gosh, what am I doing? I was just trying to figure out how to get inside of this lady's house. And then it says you're tattlers, and it uses the same word, busybody. Your body's business, but not about your own business. Now, some of you post, but most of you are just busybodies. Okay, that was bad. Forgive me. Most of us are just busybodies. When I post, I try to post things about Jesus and the Lord, and I try to even stay away from my family business a little bit, even though there's some people probably want to. My mom don't like Facebook, so I'm good there. It's not like they want to see pictures of everybody and what's going on. But here, idle, busybodies? Like wandering how 1 Peter 4:15 is our last one. Let's have somebody read 1 Peter 4:15. Hey, I don't know about you, but here's how God views this subject of being a busybody. He puts it in the same room with murderers, thieves, and evildoers. Ain't that crazy? He puts it in the same category. You're busybodies in other men's matters. You know, being a busybody is just useless. It's trifling. Now listen, okay. And the 1 Timothy passage, this group in the middle, it addresses a young widow because, listen, this could be a trap to fall into as a woman, especially a woman that maybe you're home with your young ones, right, and you're a housewife, and you're not, like, getting a tangible physical paycheck from an organization. You're at home working your guts out, right? And so check this out. People that have to really watch this is people that have no order. No order. Have you ever went to somebody's house, and if this is you, I'm not thinking of anybody specific. I promise you I'm not thinking. If you ever went to somebody's house that is, like, They're like a housewife. They don't work outside of the home. And you go into their house and you're just like, this place is chaos. This place is filthy. And somebody says, oh, but they got little kids. There's a little kid in the house. There's two little kids, you know. Oh, no, I get it. But that's like the job, right? But you know what that is? You fall into a trap of there's no order here. When you don't have the accountability or a boss that says there's no work, you're free from work. If you're free from work, that puts you in the category of leisure. If you live a leisurely life, a nicer word for it's probably lazy. You're just plumb lazy. What are you doing? Just a busybody. I'll just trifle in other things. And the third one I think that we can list here is of all these three passages that talk about being a busybody, because Paul says, hey, study, be quiet. Or basically, hey, be ambitious or work to be calm and for there to be peace. That's what you do. You don't work for your home to be at peace. Busy, 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 go, 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 go. And today, people wear that as a badge of honor. And you know what Paul says that is? Paul says you need a knee to the forehead. Pow! That's not healthy. He says, man, study to be quiet. Labor and work for there to be some peace. So if you are at home, I'm not saying you're a bum or you're lazy or that you should get a job. But what it is you make your own job. You make your own goals. You don't have no direction. That's what Paul's saying. Hey, study to be quiet. Hey, make sure you have some real direction, right? Make sure you have some real goals. And make sure you have a job, especially if you're at home. Hey, mama, I know how it is. And my wife can testify to this because I remember when I couldn't make any money, we had a newborn at home and she had to go to work. And we both discovered something greatly. She said, boy, it's easier at work. And I was at home saying, yeah, and you're going to have to quit because I'm getting ready to kill somebody. Because it was very, very difficult to create a day, to be organized, to have a place when she came home that was clean. And I tried to have meal ready when she walked in the door, just like some of you do, men or women. So, hey, he just says this. Hey, love loudly, but man, labor quietly. Like labor to work. Stop the busyness. And he clarifies this by saying, do your own business. Not everybody else's business. Do your own business. And let me just, real practically, I would like to say, get off of your phone. I had a guy tell me the other day, he goes, all I see now is the top of my wife's head. I was like, what? He's like, because she's always like this. Every room we're in, we're like this. We're at the table, she's like this. All I see is her top of her head. And you know what I said? That's on you. Be the head of your home and just say, put the phones away. You can't talk that way to your wife. Who told you that? It's just him being a leader. You don't have to be a jerk. You don't have to be mean. And I would just say, hey, I think we need to put our phones away. No phones at the table, or we don't want any phones tonight. Tonight's an electronic night. Yeah, but everything works over our phone. That's just weird. That's just being a legalist. All right. Paul says, make sure that you love loudly, but make sure you study to be quiet. Do your own bit. Work with your own hands, man. Work with your own hands. Come on, man. And so, you know, I told you the 5-second rule. There's a book by Mel Robbins called The 5-Second Rule. Not a Christian book at all. She's a great cusser. But if you read the book, you know what it is? Like if you sit down and you just say, I should go out and shovel the walk. 3, 2, 1, done. You're not going to shovel the walk. Getting ready to go to bed, and you look in there, you're like, ah, I should straighten up the kitchen. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Nah. You got 5 seconds. Jump. Jump. And that's what he's saying here is, hey, study to be quiet. Guys, study, put the work, strive for peace. Strive for that. You know, the word, and I know this is kind of zen, but tranquility. You know, you don't have to get sand out and put little rocks and heat them up and do design. You don't have to do all that type of stuff. But, man, and some people, like, I have a deck, I have a patio, I have a nice porch, a screened-in porch, this and that and that. And just, hey, what about a cup of coffee and some people over? And it just be peaceful. But now if you decided to do that, what's happened? Everybody get up here, pick up that, get in there, somebody get the vacuum out, we got to go. And you're like, this is not what it's supposed to be at all. No, you're exactly right. Study to be quiet. You know, and I think specifically here, because he's leading in context here to saying that you may walk honestly towards him or without, that you may have lack of nothing. So two other things. Walk honestly. Most people think, hey, talk honestly. You're a liar. Honestly, a lot of times in the New Testament is associated with a walk, not a mouth. Walk, you know what this word honestly means? It's the same word in 1 Corinthians 14:40, speaking of a church that gets crazy on spiritual gifts. He says, you know, the bottom line is let all things be done honestly and in order. All that word's translated decently. Your walk should be decent, man. Walk decently. That's right. Walk decently in a seemingly manner towards them that are without. We've been talking about brotherly love. Love the brothers deeply, but make sure you walk honestly. Walk decently before the world because they're looking. And then it says at the very end, he says that ye may have what? Lack of nothing. So basically, this last one, what I would say is we're talking about work or lack of and walking decently. I like how he just says that you may have lack of nothing, meaning like some of us are so needy. How long are you going to be needy? You're always needing things. When you come to Jesus Christ, you're needy. Some people come and they're messed up. Their situation's jacked up. Their job's messed up. Their family's messed up. They're so needy. I have needs. I've had people like, my gosh, I have no money. Can the church give me gas? I get it. Life's messy. But then you grow to the point, and you know what you do? You learn to study to be quiet. You labor and get to where you're not busy, busy, running, blah, blah, blah. No, peace, tranquility. Yeah, you get that down. Walk decently towards the world. We love aggressively to the brethren and walk decently as the world's watching that you may have lack of nothing or like no necessity. You are a burden to nobody because after you grow and become mature, you know what you do? You become the blessing. You become the giver, not the taker. See how that works? So I like how Paul threw these four things in here. Right after talking at the beginning, he's like, okay, you're a young church. I got to talk to you about sexual things. Gets everybody. Be careful this. You got to be sanctified, man. Set apart. You got it. Got it. And then he says, okay, let me give you another thing. Guys, the brethren, you guys got to love loudly. Your love is not loud enough. Church, is our love loud enough? Negative. No, it needs to get louder. And then study to be quiet. Make sure that we strive, that we get ambitious to be what? Not to just be busy or work. I'm working. So in August that we can go have a good time and be at peace and have a vacation. It don't work that way. It's not the way it works, and everybody knows that. You'd go and just say, it's not that it wasn't a nice vacation, you know, but, you know, yeah, because if you develop this habit of being this and you're not studying to be quiet, like you're not striving and working to have that in your life, then you know you're going to find out it's going to take you 1 week just to get to peace, and then you're going to be like, got one day left. Then back to what? So we can do this all again to go on another. Yeah, study to be quiet, man. Make sure, put some order in your life. Put some goals down, right? Make sure you got some accountability there, some real work. And mama, make sure you do that at home, right? Walk decently towards them and without. Make sure we're all walking decently. Not just our talk. Talk's cheap. Walk that. Make sure your walk matches that. Then at the very end that you can say what? Yeah, God supplies all my needs, but also Paul said in Ephesians 4:28, you know what he said? Work with your hands. Work with your own hands. That way you can give to the needy. We become givers. Isn't it nice? And I'll tell you guys, there ain't a week that goes by on Monday we walk up to the jail and we get, and I'm just like, wow, God. It's nice to be on this side of the bars. They get no time outside. Most people say, they don't deserve time outside. Really? Really? You're going to go down that road? Yeah, they don't deserve anything. That's it. Okay, that's fine. And then you go in there, hey, guys, I just want you to know something. This is the highlight of our week. We don't get to go outside. We're in here with each other. Crappy meals, we dump our trash. We got to tell them to empty it. So you guys come in, and we get not just conversation. We open the Word of God, but you know what we do? just trying to love decently, right? Be a little bit more loud with that. Let's be those people. Let's be these people. And I just love getting on the other side of where I'm able to give. Because I'm a few bad moves away from that being reversed. I could be on the other side of that thing, you know. It's just true. You guys ready to pray? It's time to go. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. What has God said to you? I know what he has said to me this week, studying this out. Has God spoke to your heart in any area? This chapter, I know, is a little strange, but this is a young church, and Paul's given the business to them, things they need to hear. And so, how's your love? Let's increase our love. Some of you are laboring, man, but you're busy. You're always busy. And really, you know what half of our busyness is we're in other people's business. Put it down, man. Get out of their business. Work with your own hands. Put something in your hands, right? Walk decently. How's your walk as people look at you from the outside, meaning they're not brethren. They're lost people. Walk decently. Clean that up a little bit, man. Make sure you don't do all things without murmurings and disputings. Quit complaining so much, man. People are looking. And then at the end here, it says, you may have lack of nothing, no necessity. God has supplied my needs. I've learned to work with my hands. Yeah, that's good, so that I can give to the needy and then give credit and glory to God. So anything in there God's given you, just eat that up. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for the church. Thank you for my brothers and sisters in this room. God, the music was good today, man. I just pray that we can continue this kind of singing in our heart, rejoicing all week long. Lord, I do want to lift up the McIntyre family. I pray we not forget them. May we hold them up, lift them up. Lord, we're trusting you to do something miraculous that's visibly that we can see. And Lord, move. I want to pray tonight for our youth group that'll meet, and I pray our young people, God, I pray that they're touched deeply by your word, that they would change. Lord, it's in this culture, I pray that they get the culture of your word tonight and that would change the way they think and the way they live. God, I pray for our D2 class tonight as we talk about having real character that we can walk decently. The fault of many people is character. It's not doctrine. It's really character, the way we behave, our attitude. So, Lord, we love you. Look forward to a baptism next week. I pray Luke and his growth this week, that it'd be good as family, that they would be blessed coming here to see his life changing. So it's in your precious name we pray today. Amen. Amen.